This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Man, tough spot for the Indianapolis Colts. What a story it was for Daniel Jones, making his resurgence as a starting quarterback after an up-and-down time with the Giants. Well, now he's out for the season with the torn Achilles. And yeah, I don't care, man. You hate to see that stuff. I mean, he helped engineer kind of this offense that they were actually for them was like on a record trajectory through like 8 weeks. Yeah, you hate to see it, man. And he went down in the first quarter. The Colts end up losing to the Jaguars 36-19. Okay, Mike. The college football playoffs are set. We'll get into it. James Madison will take on Oregon. Alabama and OU. Alabama got in. Notre Dame did not. Tulane's going to take on Ole Miss. Funny story there. Tulane's coach got the Florida job. He's staying through the playoffs. Ole Miss's coach got the LSU job. He's not staying. Just kind of weird how it all works out. And then Miami did go ahead and get in. They're going to take on Texas A&M. And then Texas Tech, Indiana, Georgia, and Ohio State have the first round byes. So we'll get into that. But on top of that, now you're getting, and at least this is all I've got so far, a total of 10 teams opted out of bowl games. Now, some of these teams didn't even qualify or didn't even win up to the six. But Notre Dame came out, said we're not playing. Kansas State, somewhat different story because of Chris Klieman retiring, citing a bunch of health, wants to be around family, but also the strange landscape that is college football, college sports. Kansas, Iowa State, Florida State, Auburn, UCF, Baylor, Rutgers, Temple, Rutgers. Oh, Rutgers, sorry, said that twice. Will not be participating in a bowl game. And they get fined for that. It's like $500,000 or something just to not play a football game. So this is another thing that we're going to start seeing. College football teams that think that they're good enough to make the playoffs are on the outside looking in. And it's like Oregon, remember? Years ago when it was the two teams getting in, and when Oregon's like, we realized that they weren't going to be able to get into the national championship late. They kind of just phoned it in and just weren't really caring. You're going to see this now more often. The bowl system, Mike, is going to suffer a very, I think, maybe a weird, I don't know if an ending is near for the bowl season. I saw Rick Neuheisel was on with Dan Patrick and said he thinks the bowl game should just be the start of the season. You just make the bowl games a start. That way you don't have to worry about people opting out. Are we at the beginning? Is this the beginning of the end of college football as we know it, Mike?
I think we were the beginning of the end of college football as soon as they started adding way too many bowls. As soon as the bowls started becoming less interesting, that was the beginning of the end. And then you had the NIL. Well, then you had the BCS. That kind of like pissed people off. And then you had the playoffs that weren't enough of the playoffs. Then you had NIL. Now you have this garbage
basically
where two
everything.
Undeserving teams get in over deserving teams.
I don't. that's a fun debate, isn't it? Like, who's the better team? JMU and Tulane or Notre Dame and BYU? Notre Dame and BYU.
I would like to see Notre Dame and BYU play those two teams and watch them trounce them. These two are, they're going to get blown out. There is no competition there.
Well, you should have been ranting and raving when they first made the rules. I mean, were you? Because these were the rules. They were going to allow for this.
I didn't pay enough attention to the rules.
Well,
silly me.
I'm torn. Because what's right, if we're just talking better football teams, we're getting a lot of texts on this, better football teams, Notre Dame and BYU, to name a few, to name just two right there, 12 and 11. Well, 12 and 11 is a dangerous spot now. If you're ranked 12th, that's a dangerous spot. Did you happen to get the Dan Patrick clip with Notre Dame's athletic director, Mike? Sounds like change is already coming in the college football playoffs. Here's a clip from that.
Help me understand this, though. So are you guaranteed a playoff berth if you're 12 or higher next season?
Yeah, I don't want to say too much about the memorandum of understanding, but that's certainly been reported. That's out there. And what you said is accurate.
That's so next year, if you're ranked in the top 12, you're automatically in the playoffs.
Correct.
Okay. And everybody agreed that, like, this was drawn up by Notre Dame, and then the College Football Playoff Committee said, we'll sign off on that?
Well, it was part of the negotiations as we were contemplating the various changes that go into the committee and in preparation for the extension of the ESPN deal.
You don't have a problem with that? That Notre Dame's already negotiating something on the side that nobody else is really messing with right now. You don't have a problem with that?
Oh, I have a huge problem with that. I don't want one university having that much power. I don't care if it's the University of Washington or CU or CSU having that much power. I don't want one university having that much power, even if I agree with them.
Notre Dame's already telling you that the committee is going to make changes. They're already telling you that. That if even if they're 12, they're going to get in. If they're 12 or better, they're going to get in.
Notre Dame's very popular.
Yeah, not having Notre Dame in your playoffs is a big deal. It's a big deal.
They're way more popular than Miami. Like, if you wanted them to make more money in these playoffs, you should have put in Notre Dame.
Who won in that game, though?
50-50%, 50-50, for me, 60-40, Miami belonged in.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Who won the game? Who won the football
Miami.
Who won the football match?
Miami won the game,
mm-hmm.
And the strength of schedule does not justify Notre Dame being over Miami, in my opinion.
So Tulane gets in, ranked 20th. They get the 11 seed. And James Madison ranked 24th. I mean, if you just take a screenshot, go to ESPN, go to NCAA, go to their rankings. It just looks odd because you got 1 through 10, and then a big old gap in between 11 and 20, and then a little gap between 20 and 24. No, the optics of that don't look good. But I still maintain this, as long as they're in the same world, these schools, Tulane, James Madison, North Texas, whatever, they can't create the schedules to ever get them ranked higher than, you know, much higher than 20. I mean, Boise State had to have a perfect type of season to get to where they were last year. So it is unfair because Miami's always going to have a harder schedule. Alabama's always going to have a harder schedule because they're playing each other. They're playing their conference teams. It's always going to be harder. Tulane can't fill a schedule to even compare to that. Same with all of these G5 schools. Same with CSU. They can. It's mathematically impossible for G5 schools to create a schedule that would be anywhere near strength of schedule of Alabama and Oklahoma and Miami and all of it. So giving them a seat at the table, I've always been a fan of. Not sure two seats at the table is great, but that was the rule. Those of you that need a refresher, it's the top five highest ranked champs have a guaranteed seed. Not a guaranteed bye, but a guaranteed seed. Then it's all the rest from the rankings on. We got texts coming in. Aaron says on the text line, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I wouldn't doubt that there's already a lawsuit being prepared to the conference to jam up having to pay that fine. Oh, the fines for not going to the bowl games? Yeah, probably. Eastside Chris, wow, Brady, if all these bow out of bowl games, maybe my Rams will get a call. Yeah, I thought about that too. Wyoming might get in. Travis, the new guy, I think the beginning of the end was a while ago. For once, I agree with the guy on the other side of the glass. That's you, Michael. For once, he agrees.
Oh, for once, he's right.
I think the middle of the end is wearing an ugly head, and ugly head, we're in the throes of it now. Big Hub, here's my thing with Notre Dame. Notre Dame should be in over JMU, but I don't like that we keep tearing down G5 teams. I don't see why we can't respect a G5 getting in. Remember TCU, Oregon last year, Michigan, all getting blown out. Just switch this format to the FCS 24 playoff format. Yeah, I'm good with that. You'd get more at-large bids in. I'm even just saying you go the 9 conference champs get in, guaranteed seed, and then you have 11 at-larges. That's more than that would have got Notre Dame in. That would have got BYU in. You'd have Texas in. You'd have Vanderbilt in. I mean, I truly believe that's the way that they should go if they're going to keep going this route. I don't know that that's the truth. Hearing Notre Dame's AD talk like that makes me believe the committee's going to come out and say, it's just the rankings. We're not going to do conference champs anymore. It's going to be 1 through 12. If they stay with 12.
I spent a lot of time thinking about this and trying to come up with my solution for this.
What'd you come up with? A picture of a cat?
One of my solutions is the conference championship is a money game. Both teams get money.
Yeah, get a lot of money.
And the team that wins it gets a lot of money. If you don't make it to your conference championship, if you're Miami and you don't make it to the conference championship, too bad, you're out of that money. But if you're in the top 12, there's a different way you can make money.
Well, so what's your solution?
You don't have it conference yet? Championships are all about money.
So you're saying conference championships shouldn't matter one way or the other?
No,
they should only matter
for your conference.
Right.
Congratulations, you just got a crap load of money.
You shouldn't be rewarded or punished if you don't play in a conference championship game. You shouldn't be rewarded or punished if you lose a conference championship game.
Correct.
And that's what happened to Virginia by losing to Duke.
Yeah, by losing to Duke, they got hosed.
If they would have lost to Miami, it still wouldn't have mattered. We'd still have the same. If it was Miami and Virginia in the ACC championship, let's just assume Miami wins. Same scenario. We'd still have James Madison in. We'd still have Tulane in. This is hard for me because I always say, Mike, we bring the logic to the show. We be logical. It's not logical that Tulane is in the playoffs or James Madison. It's not logical because they're not better than the teams that are out. In fact, there's 9 teams that are better than them.
There's probably more than that.
Well, according to the rankings, if you want to go off of the rankings, and I know you're going to do the whole schedule, strength of schedule thing, sure. Like Houston is ranked 21st, Georgia Tech's ranked 22nd, Iowa's 23. You could make the case that all those teams are better than Tulane, but according to the rankings, Tulane's at least 20th. Faith says Notre Dame shouldn't have lost to Miami, period. Don't lose and you won't have problems. Yeah, I agree with that. If the games don't matter in the first 4 weeks, then just call them exhibition games. Don't count them on the record. Oh, they didn't know who they were at that point. You get better in November. Okay, fine. Then don't count them. You play 4 games and everybody has a 0-0 record until they start conference play.
Yeah, Faith is right. And that's something else that I contemplated quite a bit. And I do want to come up with a formula for strength of schedule and versus like how much better should your strength of schedule be to overcome that loss.
But do you get what I'm saying when I'm telling you it's not mathematically possible for the G5s to create a strength of schedule that would rival the Power Four strength of schedule? It's not possible.
No, it's not.
So that's why you can't really use that argument. Are we all just squabbling? Is this like Game of Thrones where we're all squabbling over who's going to sit on the throne? But at the end of the day, the White Walkers are approaching and they're just going to tear everything up anyway. It doesn't matter who sits on the throne at the end of the day. Is that what this is? Because what are we doing here? it's going to just get to, you have two major conferences or you have four major conferences, and then the rest play in their own thing. They do their own thing. And I think that's going to end. I don't think it destroys colleges necessarily, but they won't be playing in the same world. They won't have the TV money. I mean, why did the Pac-12 not get a TV deal done when they were the Pac-12? Why couldn't they get a deal done with ESPN?
You had some bad leadership.
True, but ESPN's like, dude, for the money you're wanting, you're not good enough for that. We're not going to go there. I believe the networks, the ones that are willing to carry college football games, if we have a third tier show up that gets in between the FCS and the FBS, a third tier, which would be maybe like the CSUs of the world, I don't see how they survive with TV money. Because I don't see a lot of these television companies. I see them going, hey, we'll carry we'll get your leftovers of the Power Four teams, even though they're not the sexiest matchups. We'll get those games rather than a second tier football game. And so that's what drives it, right? What drives college football is TV and money. I think the TV deals will dwindle if we get to the point where you have a third tier in between the FCS and the FBS. Because that's where we're headed. That's the only other solution. Because if you stay this course in college football and everybody's in the same world, these 132 teams or whatever it is, the only solution to make it somewhat fair, because again, mathematically, they'll never have strength of schedule, is the only solution is to allow a conference champ of a G5 to get in, whether it's one or two or whatever. It's the only way we're going to do it to make it somewhat fair. Otherwise, you have to scrap the whole thing and the CFP becomes 30 different teams, just 30 teams, and the rest are on the outside looking in.
Well, if you are going to do three different things and you're going to make your CSUs and your James Madisons a part of the mid-tier one, then I think that would probably be better than carrying those middle of the day on Wednesday bowl game that nobody watches. Like that's what we have right now. We have a lot of those middle of the day Wednesday games that nobody watches because they're all at work.
It would
be better for the middle teams. I mean, maybe
bowl games.
Maybe the winner of that gets in. I don't know.
I've always said bowl games are a joke.
They used to be worth something.
Well, because you had the two teams going to the national championship, and there was more to play for the top 10 teams.
Yeah, but you used to have some bowls, and yes, they weren't the best teams. But when you had maybe 10 bowl games, I just remember every bowl game being worth something, or at least the 10 bowl games that I could watch. They were worth something.
I've just never loved the idea of the bowl season. Growing up, it was weird. Oh, you win six games, you're eligible for a bowl. You won half your games.
That does not compute. Like, that does not work for me. Like, you're not good enough.
What's your biggest complaint about the college football playoffs right now? That James Madison and Tulane got in over a Notre Dame and a BYU?
That is by far my biggest complaint.
So I solve your complaint by saying 20 teams get in, 9 conference champs, and 11 at-larges. That solves both of our problems.
Yeah.
I get seats at the table because I like both. I like the national. I like to be a elitist, but I also enjoy covering and following these regional teams with the hopes that there is a chance that they can get a seat at the table. I want both of those worlds.
But if your conference champion is 7-5,
you're not going to get a lot of that.
Got that this year.
You did with Duke, yeah. You don't get that a lot.
That's still possible.
I don't think
that to me is the same as having a 7-9 team, now 7-10, go to the playoffs in the NFL.
Well, it happens, and the NFL seems fine. They seem like they're doing okay with it.
I don't like it.
Well, I do agree. Yeah, Notre Dame and BYU should be in the college football playoffs. The rules allow for Tulane and James Madison to get in. Eastside Chris says, start playing all the games the so-called 0 week. Skip the upcoming no games weekend. FCS bracket likeness. I think, do you get the sense that nationally more people are of the mindset, it's okay if Tulane and James Madison get in. Just don't take spots away from Notre Dame and BYU. Well, you just add more playoff teams. You add another week. You make, the FCS does it. Those guys play football. They play a lot of football in their regular season too, and then they have a 24-team playoff bracket. I'm not even saying 24, I'm saying 20. And you start 0 week. Everybody starts 0 week. Do you still have two byes? I don't know. Do we need two byes?
I think you should have two byes.
Okay, fine. Two byes. You start your, instead of conference championship games, again, there's money there. That's the only problem. That's why we can't just wash that away. But if we weren't talking about money, you would just say the regular season champ is the best record.
And if you don't have the best record, then you have some kind of head-to-head. Head-to-head is the most important thing. And if, in that case, then it would be head-to-head. If you were 10-2, and the other team was 10-2, head-to-head would be, BYU beat Texas Tech. Well, then BYU wins because they beat Texas Tech. I'm not sure if I care so much about the strength of schedule. You should have beat BYU, Texas Tech.
I my prediction is they're just going to flat out go 1-12, which would be very bad for one team in particular that we talk about here on this show, and that's Colorado State. Jim Morris saying he came here so he could coach a team, and a path through the Pac-12 is easier to do, obviously, than what UConn's dealing with. But if they do away with the conference champ thing getting in, then that will likely mean not a very good shot for a Pac-12 team to get in.
Yeah, but the one thing is CSU has been ranked highly before, like really high.
When?
In the 90s. I recall seeing them.
Different world
like
now,
18.
Though. Yeah, but
if you build up CSU,
how? Do you have the money? I mean,
you're going to have to schedule.
Michigan State
you're
just got
to schedule a Washington and not go with as much of a money game. Your money game is going to have to be, instead of UNC, your money game is going to have to be one of the Montana schools.
Yeah. Michigan State just got a donation of $400 million. I mean, how do you compete with the money at the end of the day? And that's why these paths to get in are, at least to me, entertaining, because if we're just going to go off of rankings, you're never going to compete with the LSUs of the world. And I don't think CSU is ever going to be able to compete with LSU. I'm just saying the seat at the table is what's nice. That shot to get in there is nice. And they're trying to capture some of the March Madness thing. Basketball is a sport that lends itself to upsets winning. One guy gets hot from the three-point line. Football, man, you can't really have guys get hot necessarily, especially when we're talking interior linemen, which the big schools are always going to get the bigger, better, faster, stronger dudes.
Football is the ultimate team sport.
Well, it's wild. A lot of things Big Hub says, I can't believe you were right about bowl games. I said bowl games were going to go away. Unless you make them, you name your playoff games the bowl games. That's what you end up doing. Is your playoff games just become your bowl games. You call all your little Best Buy and Snoop Dogg bowl, all those little bowls. It's just every playoff game is a bowl. And you get money for winning that bowl/playoff game. That's what I've said for years.
The bowl games still don't matter.
If they're playoff games, they matter.
They matter, but like the trophies don't matter. So congratulations, you have a Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And you have an Orange Bowl. And you have the Orange Juice Happiness Bowl, which is the same as the Orange Bowl.
It's no different than winning in the NFL, winning a wild card round and winning a divisional round and winning the AFC champion. You were the AFC champion. The Chiefs were the AFC champion last year, but they didn't win the Super Bowl. There's tiers and levels to this.
Yeah, but having five trophies for one playoff.
What else are you going to do to make the bowl games meaningful?
They're meaningless. They're for the James Madisons who don't belong in the playoffs.
I just don't agree with that necessarily. I get where you're coming from, but you can't continue on this route of having all these other teams in if you're not going to allow them a certain seat at the table. Because they, again, I'll say this until I'm blue in the face, mathematically they cannot create your strength of schedule. It just can't happen. Not every G5 school is going to have a good schedule. Most of them won't, because 90% of their schedule is their conference games, and their conferences are not strong enough.
Well, congratulations. No one's going to watch the James Madison versus Oregon game. No one's going to watch that except for Oregon fans, James Madison fans,
no.
And people who have ESPN on as they fell
asleep. I'll be watching that game. I'll be watching all of these games.
You're the only one, aside from Oregon and James Madison fans and you know, Stephen A. Smith, who's going to yell at us about everything.
I'll be watching these games. I'm curious, though. Like, your thoughts. Are you with Michael on this? They don't even deserve the spot. Tulane and James Madison don't deserve the spot.
They deserve a good bowl game.
There is no good bowl game.
They deserve the Sun
They're
Bowl.
All
Sun
quitting bowl games. Bowl. Everyone's telling you.
In the middle of the day during a work week.
Everyone's telling you they don't care about bowl games. Faith says, just like it is for the bigger playoff games, are doubled as bowl games. Still can't believe Snoop has a freaking bowl game. Yeah, that's the thing. We watered it down, too. But I never cared about bowl games. That's why I didn't care when CSU got smoked in their bowl game last year. I was always like, at least get to one, because that's like your most modest thing you can achieve is winning six games and getting into a bowl game. But once you're actually in the game, I don't care. Players aren't playing in them as much. Guys are leaving. Coaches aren't coaching in them. And now we're getting flat-out teams are like, I'm good. I don't want to play in this game. That means nothing.
So they get fined for not going to a bowl game?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I don't like that. We voluntarily don't want to play. Well, fine. Screw you. We're taking $100,000 away from your school.
Spitting in the face of the NCAA.
Screw the NCAA.
And they'll probably sue the NCAA for that. You're right, Aaron. Man, we got a lot of stuff coming in. Tulane, Big Hub says Tulane deserves the spot, but not James Madison.
Tulane has a better argument than James Madison. They have a much better argument than James Madison. Still don't belong there, but I would be much less upset with Tulane. Especially, you know what? I like Tulane's coach staying with him. I love that.
Yeah, well, it's not in the division,
cool.
So it doesn't matter. Texter here from John Fort Moneybags. Mr. Hull and Mr. Spock, the division between FBS and FCS should be called FUBS. Sparty will still fritter away the $401 million gift. Yeah, I'm not saying that they'll always make the right decision with that money, but the fact that you don't have those kind of donors is crazy. Callahoma says, I'll be watching JMU and Tulane. Curious to see how they do. We'll turn it off quickly if it becomes a blowout. I think that's most people. I'll turn it off quickly if it becomes a blowout. Eastside Chris, sportsbook clientele will watch these games. Yeah, betting, too, makes these games interesting because the spreads are going to be kind of outrageous. Faith says, do schools have to pay to play in a bowl game? Is that why they're being fined if they don't? No, I think they get, don't they get money to be in a bowl game? The
they
schools
do.
Get
they
money.
They get money. The students get money.
They get a little.
The school gets money.
Yeah.
I don't know when the conferences get money. It might be just the playoffs.
Smitty texting, and schools usually lose money on bowl games. Oh, well, just because of the travel and stuff. And
yeah, and the hotels.
Yeah. I would.
Now they're definitely
listen,
losing
man,
money.
If I'm not a bit like NIT, CIT basketball stuff, like it's neat that they can go and UNC can go to those if they don't make it to March Madness. I'm not watching. I'm typically not watching those games. I mean, locally, if there's local teams in it, I'm watching because it's part of the show, but I have no interest. 34 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
In the States. Hear Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, and high school sports on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, at On the Rocks Liquor, we got the 12 Sales of Christmas. Starts this Friday with a new sale item every day until Christmas Eve. We'll get the first list here pretty soon, but just keep that in mind. This Friday, look for these deals, man. You're trying to save money where you can. You know you're going to buy some spirits coming up for the, you know, the big holidays and Christmas and New Year's and watching all these games. Stop by On the Rocks Liquor. They're always hooking you up. The beverage of the week is Fireball Yule Nog, a premium holiday nog with a cinnamon kick. Supplies are limited, so you don't want don't wait until the big guys on your rooftop come see us today. I love that from my guy Travis over at On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. Make your next celebration on the rocks. 40 minutes after the hour. Well, the college football playoffs, we have that. The NFL playoff picture is becoming a bit more clear. And we had some big losses that will impact this. Obviously, with the Colts now, not only their loss, but the fact that their quarterback, Daniel Jones, is out for the season is huge. I don't know what they'll do the rest of the way. But right now, the Broncos are sitting at number one at 11-2, and they now have the tiebreaker over the New England Patriots. The Jaguars coming in at number three after their win over the weekend at 9-4. Pittsburgh got the win over Baltimore. Lamar just still doesn't look right, man. Pittsburgh's fourth at 7-6. The Bills at 9-4. The Chargers are 8-4. They're still in. And then the Houston Texans, with their win last night over the Chiefs, are holding up that final spot in the playoffs. But we've still got four games remaining, 4 weeks left, Michael. And they're still here are the teams that are realistic. Now, the Bengals, with their loss yesterday to the Bills, probably done. But the Chiefs are still alive. The Ravens are still alive. The Colts, technically, probably going to fall out. And the Miami Dolphins are still kind of alive in this. They are 6-7. They have won now four straight, including a win over the Bills 4 weeks ago. The Dolphins, Mike McDaniel is doing something over there, man. I don't know what, but he's got this crew believing after a terrible start. And they sit at 6-7 with somewhat of a realistic shot to get into the playoffs. So we'll monitor those games too. 12:42 the time. Let's jump out real quick though, Michael, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
I saw another story locally about a great restaurant closing down. And, you know, again, I feel bad for the business owners. I feel bad for the community too. These are great spots, man. And I guess my brain was kind of going here. If you like listening to local radio, it's these advertisers that you hear about that we love. We love visiting their spots, going to restaurants, great nonprofits. Support those businesses. Big City Roadhouse, brand new local restaurant here. You know, Cables was a staple in this community for so long. A chain place could have come in and bought that out. And Big City Roadhouse, like, they got Big City Burrito in Fort Collins, but it's local. Go support these places, man. Great food. And it's what makes our communities so unique is these local eateries. And I say it for Big City Roadhouse. I say it for a lot of local restaurants in this area. If you're going to go out and eat anyway, you know, look at the local options first. Big City Roadhouse, man, they got tavern-style pizza, wings, steak, breakfast burritos every day, 10 a.m. to noon. Stop by and do me a favor. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show powered by Chevron. We survive if these local businesses that support us survive. That's as simple as it gets. So do me a favor. You're thinking about lunch plans? Put Big City Roadhouse in those plans. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. All right, Monday Night Football tonight. We'll get into a very big game when it comes to the AFC playoff picture when you have the Chargers and Philadelphia going at it on Monday Night Football. We'll have that game for you here on KFK, so we'll get into that. Also, in the final hour of the show, we got buy or sell. CSU comes up with a huge win over the Colorado Buffaloes. Tad Boyle throwing some shade out the door. We'll get into that coming up. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
For nuggets, games, and talk, keep it on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back into The Hall Show. Yeah, what a weekend of basketball it was, too. Obviously, the Nuggets coming away with a nice weekend for them, and we'll get into that. Jamal Murray has been on another level. He's playing on an all-star level, even without the new changes at the all-star game. But you had, as we talked about with Brock Wisney earlier, hell of a game between UNC and South Dakota. The Bears win in overtime at the buzzer, Ring Neary with the tip-in. And then CSU-CU. That was a great basketball game. Two amazing teams. It was kind of like one of those games where it's like, man, I don't want this one to end. I just want it to keep going. Josh Pascarelli, a three-point assassin. That guy is incredible. The Rams are deep. The Buffs are going to be fine after losing that game. But I'll get into that. Some comments from Ali Farokmanesh after the game. We'll talk about Tad Boyle and the Super Bowl reference he made as well. All that and more coming up in the final hour of the whole show. Buy or sell, coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.